attitude, just as we do too, that right there is in reverse.
The things that happen to you as a child can influence this. My mother and father both had black hair and dark eyes. And I was a white-headed kid with blue eyes. I was raised in a farm community where every kid knows all about animal breeding. And they said, John, how come you're not an Indian? You're a bastard. And I was a little kid. You feel those things.
Sure.
You can't keep on feeling them.
No.
So I had one of my kids take some, buddies take some mule shears and clip off my hair and give me one of those roaches, like the Iroquois wore, you know, because I was going to be Indian. I wore a headband as a little kid. I did things to be Indian. Mm-hmm. I was one of today's hippies as a little kid, yeah. I guess, you know.
I remember those haircuts.
You know?
Sure.
I could see why Fred was not in the same position. I was the one that should have made the advance.
Yeah.
My kids have. We have Negro kids in our home frequently.
Hmm.
My daughter used to bring, just regularly, visiting track groups. She was involved with Girls and Women's Track, and they come from all over the United States to meets. And it isn't always easy to find homes for the Negro kids. And so we'd have Negro kids at our house. My son, who played ball at Las Cruces, came home from the Navy, and the first person he ran across was one of his ex-buddies, and he had him up the house for lunch. And these things couldn't have happened in our family.
Mm-hmm.
As I was growing up.
Yeah.
You know?
How much of this type of thing exists for thinking more of the Border Town kids? Are they invited out to private homes very much?
Not much, no ma'am. Somewhat.
I know the church groups do it, because I've been down to the school and talked to them, but other than that.
The missionaries do, unless they get turned off easily when a kid, they expect him to be at a Sunday church service with them, and they find out they've been home to a sing because they were sick and decide that they missed the boat and can't go. I'm showing my prejudices now. Very strongly.
Reversed?
I won't contribute to the missionary fund of my own Christian church. I don't believe in it.
I'm glad to hear that.
But I have absolute faith in every person's need for a belief in something. I don't care what it is. I don't think there has to be money. I just don't think so.
Well, then, other
they
than...
They don't visit a great deal. Some of the kids make some friends, but there is not. You don't see... My son went down to the dorm to pick up a kid to take him to the basketball game at his high school, but he never dated an Indian girl. And believe me, some of their cousins are beautiful Indian girls. And that isn't the reason. They didn't get to know them well enough in school to make this kind of friends. The kiddos, 30 kids at Highland High School, 30 little Navajo kids, out of 3,000 kids. That is such a small number that, and the prejudices exist, kids are better right now than they've ever been, believe me.
As far as prejudice,
more accepting, right.
Oh, that's
I believe this with all my heart, but you can still be walking down that hall following one of our Border Town kids, and before you get to the other end, you will have heard somebody say, you know, one aside, dirty Indian or stinking Indian, you hear these things, particularly among the junior high school level.
Yes, and that was the next thing I was going to ask you. How many do you have at Jefferson?
We didn't have any last year. We put 22 or 29 up there this year, started it again.
One of them, I'm sure it was one of them, had a poem in the school newspaper. One of the first issues last fall. It was a beautiful thing. Just beautiful. I should say that
they do some real nice things.
It was very nice, and that was my first awareness of the fact that some of the kids were in Jefferson. I didn't know it before then.
We've had them there since the program came into public schools, but last year, we have 350 border town kids.
Right.
But the dormitory had been able to house about 700 kids
mm-hmm.
in barracks. Just, you know, army barracks, a bunch of bunks too high in rows. And they separated these into, put walls in and made rooms for, pardon me, 4 to 6 kids,
mm-hmm.
which takes more space.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost 100 beds.
Oh.
BIA does. I'm sorry.
Where were we?
I've wandered, don't I?
No, everyone I talk with wanders. That's the way it should be. It's much better. You get more spontaneous stories.
We're talking about the kids and dating and whether they went to homes.
Oh,
the dormitory situation.
Kids
and
dorms, right.
The BIA has a school on campus.
Yes, yes, I've been down there.
And we have, and this has been gradually getting smaller over the years. They used to have about 1,400 kids down at the Albuquerque Indian School. And it's getting smaller. Well, when we lost 100 beds, for some reason, it was the border town kids that didn't get in.
Oh.
If they had lost their, from their 300 kids, if they'd lost 100, it had to almost close down their little school, you know? So that made sense to me. They weren't ready to close it down. They still need it. Gosh dang, they need it. The kiddo that flat cannot succeed with us. They have an ungraded program. They have a small teacher load.
Mm-hmm.
The kiddo has a better chance of succeeding there than he has with us. If the teachers are any good, and they should be just as good as ours. So, boy, I'm not anxious for them to lose it.
Do you think the teachers are as good as yours?
They should be, I said, I don't know. We've got some teachers that aren't good, too.
You know,
I don't think you can point a finger at any group in the United States and say their teachers are superior.
I have heard it said that the children who come to the Indian school, not the border town kids, but the kids who go to school there, are almost hopeless cases by the time they get there.
It isn't always true. Somebody's leading you astray a little bit, in my opinion. True. The kiddos that we get for the Border Town program, for the most part, are the kids from the reservation who have the least possible chance to succeed. Isolated till they don't have contacts with gringos, and yet they need English language to function the way our schools work.
Right.
We're not teaching in Navajo. Isolated so that they haven't had contacts to know what's going on in the world. Or broken families.
Mm-hmm.
Gringos' broken families. A kid can be a brain, but if he's got something bugging him,
mm-hmm.
has less chance to succeed.
Right.
Okay,
no
we
argument.
Get these kids. All right. If we get 700 kids down at the dorm, all of them, well, the only ones that can apply for Border Town are Navajos.
Okay.
The Pueblos that are down there aren't eligible for the Border Town program. It's a Navajo program.
Uh-huh.
But, gee, there's some sharp kids in that AIS program down there.
What's the are the criteria which form the decision by which a child goes to Border Town rather than to AIS?
Navajo kid?
Right.
Now,
I've heard some criteria, but I wanted to know what...
Well, from my... I don't do this. So
no,
it isn't my field, but I would say that the criteria are these. Their council must send them in the first place. It must be they must apply through their council for Border Town.
Their tribal council.
Their tribal
right.
council.
Okay.
Okay, they need to be the isolated case
mm-hmm.
or a social welfare case. Then
mm-hmm.
welfare workers send many of them.
Mm-hmm.
Send them. They've got to find a place for them. They send them in.
Yeah.
And a third, we occasionally get a kiddo that, let's say, had been at Tohatchee and got in serious trouble in the school,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to let him stay there. We kick kids out of school too. Hmm?
Yes.
Here in town. Mm-hmm. They move to another school here in town.
Yep.
Okay, we get some of those kids. We get a fourth kind that really I don't think are supposed to be here. But it happens in everybody's society. If you happen to be parents who went to a boarding school and were successful, thought it worked, say in Albuquerque or Santa Fe when they had the big boarding schools,
okay.
you might want your kids to go there. And if you have some influence, you might be able to get your kids to go there.
What percentage?
We get a few of those.
Just a few.
No, I don't think it's very many at all.
I would think it would be decreasing too, because
as schools improve on the reservations, I would hope it decreases. I would hope those parents want them to be at home. Some of them really do believe, parents that I've talked to, really do believe that the advantage of being in the minority part of the dominant culture school is a distinct advantage.
That's very.
And it is a distinct advantage for the kiddo who can succeed academically in that school. That's your life. If that kiddo has, oh, we had a beautiful example last year. A little girl who was 4-0 all the way through the 10th grade in a reservation school. She learned to speak Navajo after she started to school. The parents wanted her to speak Navajo, but they did not. She learned Navajo after she started the school. And her peers, Navajo peers, laugh at her Navajo because she learned it later and it isn't quite as good as theirs.
Sure, I'm sure.
And they kidded her some about it. She was a strong personality. She made it beautifully. She came in here, wanted the challenge. And they accepted it. Let her come. Strong student, let's see what she can do. Anybody would have let her come. Any control group.
Okay.
That's an extenuating circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
See if this kiddo can make it.
Mm-hmm.
First semester at Valley High School, in a college prep course, she knocked off a 3.2 and was disgusted with herself. She had two B's, one in algebra, I believe it was, and one in PE. And she said, I can whip the algebra. But I don't believe I can make a better grade than that in PE, because I sure tried. You know? Bless her heart.
Okay.
She had a 3.6, I believe, the second semester, and held just about that through her graduate, and was one of the two speakers at the graduation program. We didn't do that for that gal. APS didn't do that for that gal. She was a strong one when we got her. Makes us look good.
Yes. Well, you certainly get a wide range then.
Yes, ma'am.
Don't you?
Yes, ma'am. Now, no, we don't get a wide range. We occasionally get a kiddo like this. We have a boy at Albuquerque High School now named Olson Patterson, who was elected as the ninth grader by his school at Washington Junior High School as the outstanding student in the school. He's a strong student. He's a good athlete. He speaks English well. But he is not, yes, we have a broad range. But those kiddos in that range are isolated in their group up at the top. Our grade point average at the semester in one of our schools was 2.5, one of our high schools.
Mm-hmm.
The grade school that feeds that school was 2.4. The rest of our schools averaged 1.8, just below grade point average. And grade points don't really reflect just exactly what is happening in education, because some of those grades, in spite of all that we can do, are sympathy grades. You know, the kiddo hasn't always earned the grade he gets. If he's a nice kid,
yeah.
Damn it. We do that. I'm not sure it helps a kid. But we do that. And also,